How can we develop patience? How can we marinate and get some patience in our life? Well, I think the first thing is we have to get patience. We have to understand patience from a biblical perspective. And so we're going to understand patience before we can give patience. But before we dive into God's word, will you pray with me, please? Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for hope. We thank you for truth. Father, we thank you for those who are willing to stand up for each and every one of these values, as so many have served and are serving our country. Father, we are eternally grateful for their and their family's sacrifice. Thank you that we can take time and remember and be grateful for their sacrifice. Father, we thank you that we can walk in here freely today. We can worship you. We can praise you. We can laugh. We can fellowship, Lord, because of you. Father, I pray that you would speak to us today. I pray, Lord, that you would remove any obstacles, that we would hear your truth, Lord. Thank you for your grace, Father. I pray that despite my sin, you would speak through me and despite me. I pray that your Spirit, Lord, would speak to each and every one of us. And Father, we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may have noticed a couple of things. The room looks a little different today. I don't know if you picked up on that. We've kind of reoriented the room. We're trying to get the best view on our screens as we can. So thank you for your patience in that. Thank you for everybody who served in doing that. You also may have noticed on your chair, there is kind of a blue bulletin. And this is twofold. First, we want to make sure that you have the most up-to-date information of everything that's happening within the life of the church. And then secondly, and sometimes even more importantly, on the very back is a space to take notes. If you're like me, if I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember it, I'm not going to do it, and I'm sure not going to apply it. So we want to encourage you, take notes. Maybe there's something in a song that spoke to you. Maybe it'll be something in the text. Write notes down, take them home, and reflect upon what we've talked about today. So you can get information on what is happening within the life of the church, and you can also write down things. So I'd encourage you to do that. Now that takes patience to do that. And by nature, we are not a patient group of people as human beings. We don't really gravitate towards patience. And if you don't believe me, think of this. When was the last time you went to take an elevator and it didn't come in the time frame that you thought? So how quickly did you keep pressing that button? Right? We press the button on an elevator like it's somehow going to make it come faster, and there's no way that that happens, but because we become impatient, we do that. How many times when you're trying to get online and your internet is slow, we are like, oh, I can't believe this. It took 5 seconds to come up. We become impatient. We are impatient people by nature. And how do we develop patience? We have to find a way to become more patient with one another. And so we're going to take a look at a couple of different texts this morning in doing that. Part of our impatience, if we're honest, we can become impatient with God. We don't like to talk about this, and we don't like to say this, but sometimes we can say, God, how come you haven't responded yet? I've been praying. Sometimes we say, Lord, I prayed yesterday and things haven't changed. We expect God to answer our prayers like that. Sometimes we've been praying for a long season of life, and we say, God, haven't you answered my prayer yet? I'm frustrated, God. I'm impatient, God. I want what I want, and I want it now. I don't know if you're like that, but I know I am. I sometimes struggle and say, God, why haven't you responded yet? And I think part of my problem, and maybe you struggle with this, is understanding the concept of time and God. We somehow think that they operate within the same sphere, but they don't. Let me read you this in 2 Peter. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. See, God is not in time. God is above time. If time is here and time is here, God is above time. God does not operate, and God is not constrained by time. So what might be 1,000 years to us in this life is but a day in God's life. And what may be a day in our life may be 1,000 years in the life of God. And so we have to understand God and time are things that can't go together because God is above time and the way that God works is different. Some people feel that God has forgotten them or God has failed them. That's not the case. We continue to read here in 2 Peter and it says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And if you go down a little bit more in 2 Peter verses 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. God is patient with you and I for the specific purpose that we can recognize our sin, repent of our sin, and receive the gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. We sometimes think, why won't Jesus come back? I remember so clearly sitting in class in seminary, taking one of my Greek finals, and honestly and earnestly praying that Jesus would come back at that very moment. Please come back now. And I kept looking out the window. Now, come on. Because I so wanted him to end this pain and suffering that was Greek for me. But see, God wants you and I to recognize our sin and recognize that he is patient with us so that we can recognize that we are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," but not all recognize that or not all want to recognize that. And so we want to recognize that. We want to repent of that sin. And so God's delay, as some people that Peter was writing to were perceiving, is not a delay at all. It's showing his patience for you and for me and for others. God's delay in Christ coming back is so that we can understand that God wants us to repent of our sins. That's what Peter is talking about here. So the patience that we have to get, first and foremost, is that God is patient with you and patient with me. If we don't get and understand God's patience, we can't ever have and give patience with other people. There's no way that you and I can develop patience with other people unless we get it. Unless we go, I understand how patient God is with me. Think about your journey. If you have come to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ, what if Jesus came back a day earlier? You wouldn't have been saved. But God is patient because God wanted you to know, recognize your sin, repent of your sin, and receive the gospel. See, we have to get God's patience. And we see this in the Old and New Testament. Listen to what it says in Joel. "Even now," declares the Lord, "return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity." And then it says this in Romans 2. "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" God is patient so that you and I will repent of our sin. The reason that Jesus has not come back is not because God does not exist, as the false teachers were trying to tell the audience that Peter was writing to, or that somehow that Jesus isn't real, that the false teachers were trying to convince people of, is that God's character is revealed. We see his patience and his love and his mercy and his grace. Think about how patient God is with you and me. Think about that. If you're a parent, that video becomes all too real. But think about those moments when we do have patience with our kids. Sometimes our kids do things that they absolutely deserve to be punished for and they absolutely deserve to have a consequence for. But as parents, we show patience. Why? Because we love them and we want them to learn that this is not the way that they should respond or this is not the way that they should act. We show patience in those moments, at least for me on rare occasions, because God has shown patience with me. God has shown patience with you. And if we don't get how patient God is with us, how in the world can we ever be patient with other people? See, we have to understand the unbelievable patience that God has with us in Christ. Now, God doesn't want people to come to a place where they don't repent. He wants all people to come to a place of repentance. And that's why he's patient with you. That's why he is patient with me. And if we get that, if we truly understand that, then we can begin to have patience. Now, if you're like me, when you start to lose your patience, typically it comes out in my words. Typically, I'm going to say something that's not kind, or typically I'm going to say something that's not right. And so we go to the book of James, and James talks a lot about how powerful our tongue is. It's like a rudder on a ship. It can control the direction, or it can spark that of a forest fire. But what we see also is an opportunity to develop patience. Listen to hear what James says. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, there are three things that I want to pull out of this, and there are many more, but three main things that I think can help us develop patience. There are this: be quick to listen, be slow to speak and become angry, accept the word of God planted in you, and do what it says. So let's take each one of those. If we truly want to develop patience, and if you have children, I know you want to develop patience. What we need to do is be quick to listen. And sometimes we think that means listening to other people first. That is not the first quick to listen. We need to be quick to listen to God. What is God telling us? How is God speaking to us? When we find our blood pressure rising, we find ourselves becoming more frustrated and that we're starting to lose our patience, are we quick to listen to what God is trying to tell us, or are we so busy trying to formulate what our answer is going to be, what our response is going to be, how much we're going to tell the other person that they're wrong, that we don't listen to God? See, we can't hear what God is trying to tell us in those moments that we become frustrated and start to lose our patience if we're just filled with anger and resentment and revenge. And so what James is saying here is we need to be quick to listen to God. How do we listen to God? Through prayer. How do we listen to God? Through His Word. And if we're not in prayer and if we're not in God's Word, then we can't hear what God is trying to tell us. So then how can we be patient with other people? We can all become angry. That's part of human nature. We all become frustrated. That's part of human nature. That doesn't go away. It's how do we manage that? How do we deal in those moments? Because we're going to get frustrated with people. We're going to get angry with people. That's just part of who we are in a fallen world. But if we're quick to listen to God's word, because we're in God's word and we're in prayer, then we're going to hear what God says. Now, secondarily, we need to listen to other people. When we listen to people, we give them value. Go through the scriptures. Jesus listened to people. He listened to their story. He listened to their point of view. And then he responded. And so what James is saying is be quick to listen to God and be quick to listen to other people. Value what they have to say. Jesus always valued other people. All of us are created in the image of God. Even people that frustrate us, even people that are different than us, even people that disagree with us, they're still created in the image of God. And so we need to be quick to listen to God and quick to listen to them. The second thing that we need to do is we need to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Now, that doesn't mean speak slowly when you're mad and making a point like this, which probably all of us are very good at speaking slowly to make our point. But it's speak slowly. Take your time before you respond. Before we just launch into our response, have we listened to what God has said? Have we heard what God is telling us? And then slowly speak and be slow to become angry. That's what James is talking about here. We need to be slow to speak. And that seems counterculture, because all of us have seen the stories, what people do when they launch onto social media. People log on to Facebook or Twitter and they have an instant response, whether it's to a world event, a local event, or a personal event, and they just launch into this response, and it is usually anger-filled, and people say things they regret, and then they have to go back, and they either have to take that post down, or they have to apologize. See, we live in a world now where it says you should say whatever you want to say, whenever you want to say it, however you want to say it, and who cares about what anybody thinks? But Scripture says differently, that we need to be slow to speak. We need to take our time. Reflect, what is God telling me here?
What is God wanting my response to be? And then sharing that response. See, we become angry so quick. Why? Because people don't do what we want. People don't say what we want in a time frame that we think they should. So we become angry. And so we just spout off. But what James is saying is if we're slow to speak. And see, being slow to speak means that you're quick to listen. You can't do any of these things independent of the other. They actually are all connected. If we are quick to listen to God's word, we're going to be slow to speak to other people. And if we're quick to listen to God's word, we're not going to get angry as quickly. All of us have seen people who have immeasurable patience, who just wait and wait and wait. And it's because they listen to the word of God and they're slow to speak. We often think of Mother Teresa. If there was a Mount Rushmore of people who have lived the faith well, she has to be up there. And Mother Teresa, whenever she spoke, took her time. She was never flippant with her words. She was always very patient with her words. There's a story of people walking by Mother Teresa in the slums of Calcutta. And she was taking care of people, and she was cleaning people in the most personal way that you can imagine. And the people walking by said, "You couldn't pay me $1 million to do that." When someone went and told Mother Teresa that comment, she thoughtfully said, "You couldn't pay me $1 million either." She did it because God called her to do it. And she always listened to what God would have her say. She could have said, "Yeah, well, you're not here." I mean, there's so many responses that I probably would have messed up in that moment. But because she was quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, she is a witness to God. And we look back here on what James is saying here like this. He says, anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. When we get angry, we don't reflect the righteousness of God. And all of us have said it, and I've said it, "Hey, I am justified in being angry about this because of what this person did or what this person said." And people will tell you, "You are absolutely justified in being angry." Who do you think has the most reason to be angry of them all? Jesus, right? He has the most reason to be angry. He would be more than justified to be angry, but he's not. Because he's listening to God, and he's slow to speak, and he speaks the words of God. See, righteousness only comes from God. And if God hasn't lost his patience, then we have to say, am I justified in saying that I can lose mine and become angry and speak ugly to people? See, when we do that, not only do we damage our relationship with another person, but we damage our relationship with God. When we are not quick to listen to God, when we're not slow to speak, when we become angry instantly and respond with people in such a negative way, we damage our relationship with God. And what we do is we muddy the gospel for people. We don't let people see who Jesus truly is when we do that. The third thing is accept the word of God planted in you and do what it says. The word of God is in you. It's been planted in you. You have to accept that. Now you have to nurture that and you have to let that grow. We went for the very first time yesterday to Nebraska City. We had never been to Nebraska City, and we went to all of the Arbor Day farms and all of these things, and it's amazing. And I know many of you know that. It was really our first trip as a family. And it was amazing just the rows and rows and rows of trees that they have. And one of the cool things is when you go through this tour, they give you a little tree. So we have 4 trees in our refrigerator right now. Don't ask me why they're in the fridge, but they're there until we can plant them. But, you know, they also come with instructions. And so you got to take that little tree. And it's like it's this big and mostly of its roots. You got to dig a little circle. You got to plant it in. And then you've got to water. You got to make sure it's in sunshine. So there are instructions that you have to help it grow. You can't just put it in the ground. Well, the word of God is planted in you and in me. We got to let it grow. We got to let it get roots. That means we've got to nurture it. We've got to water it. We've got to make sure that it's in the sunlight. And I'm going to say S-O-N light for it to grow. Because that's the only way that we've accepted it. See, the only way that the ground will accept the word of God is if it's planted in the right spot and if it's given water and if it's given sunshine and all the different things. It's the only way it's going to grow. And so we have to accept the word of God planted in us. It needs to take root in us. It needs to absolutely go down deep. We went on a nature trail walk, and some of the roots were exposed from these trees that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. And it was amazing how deep the roots went and how strong the roots were, because they are been planted the proper way. They received water. They received light. So we need to accept the word of God planted in you. And then you have to do what it says, right? You have to actually do what it says. I mean, we were reading the instructions last night of all of the things that we need to do, what I just told you. But what if we said, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to plant it under the porch. It's not going to grow. I mean, there's no point in planting a tree if you don't follow the directions to help that tree grow. And what James is saying is we have to do what God's word said. There is of no value if you just hear these words, but then don't go out and do them. It's of no value. And coming and sitting here and hearing this doesn't do anything if you don't put it into practice. Look, we are all going to be put in situations where we are going to lose our patience. That is human nature. But if we get how patient God is with us, not wanting anyone to perish, some will if they don't repent, not wanting anyone to perish. If we get God's patience with us every day, then we can begin to start to give patience to others. If we say, I want to be very quick and I want to listen to what God is telling me and how I should respond in this moment to this person in this situation, if we're slow to speak and not just react, and if we allow the word of God to take root in us and we actually do what God's word said, I guarantee you will find yourself developing more of a patience with other people. You will say, I can't believe I was as patient with other people like this. I'm going to ask Sarah in our music ministry to come back up. And I want to ask you to wrestle with these three questions. We'll put them up this week. Number one, do you lose your patience with other people? Do you find yourself, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a neighbor, a coworker, a family member? I know I do. So you got to own that to say, you know what, I do lose my patience. Number two, do you get it why God has patience with you so that we will repent of our sins? I mean, is that part of the DNA of saying, I truly understand why God has been so patient with me, because he wants me to understand my sinfulness so I can repent? And then third, are you quick to listen, slow to speak, and rooted in God's word? Because if you are those three things, if you can put those three things into practice and do what God's word said, whatever temptation there will be to lose your patience or to get angry, God will allow you not to deal with that. And so Sarah and Chad are going to give us some time just to reflect upon what it is to get having patience and how to give patience.